It doesn't.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. Mitchell Lazarus at the Communications Law blog reports on a proposal from law students at the University of Colorado who think the Federal Communications Commission needs a faster way to sort out interference claims. FM broadcast, fixed satellite, Wi-Fi, and amateur radio can all be plagued by interference. Lazarus says the FCC is quick to react when radar detectors interfered with satellite receivers and some internet service interrupted weather radar. But more often, the parties involved just have to put up with the errant noise. The new petition for rulemaking proposes interference victims file a complaint directly with an FCC Administrative Law Judge, or ALJ, with help from, quote, a spectrum technical advisor, unquote. The magistrate would rule on the interference issue under the proposal. Lazarus at the ComLaw blog doesn't think the proposal stands much of a chance, since the FCC has bare laws on interference for a judge to interpret, and since the FCC currently only has one judge. Quote, our other concern centers on appeal processes and their potential for crippling expense and delay. An administrative law judge's decision can be appealed to the full commission. After the commission rules, a party can request reconsideration of its decision. A party can then seek review of that result in turn before a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals. The losing party there can request a rehearing by the initial three-judge panel and or further review by the entire court sitting en banc. It can then ask the U.S. Supreme Court to accept the case. The initial commission review and each of the court options can typically take a year or more. The FCC tends to give reconsiderations a low priority, so that stage might need 2 or 3 years. Thus, even if the ALJ moves promptly, a final resolution could still take the better part of a decade, unquote. Comments on the petition are due by July 13, 2015, using the proceeding number RM11750 at fcc.gov, or follow the link at newsroom.free103.9.org or newsroom.wgxc.org. Vice reports that scientists in Albany, New York, just turned a person's thoughts into a legible phrase using what they're calling brain-to-text interface. Researchers at the National Center for Adaptive Neurotechnologies at the State University of New York at Albany worked on the brainwave study, but it wasn't quite the kind of mind reading you may have seen in the movies. Instead, surgeons opened up skulls and electrode sheets were attached directly to brains in the study. Clearly, the research into brainwave communication is in the early stages. Peter Brunner at the University of Albany said the research is primitive at this point. Quote, I liken it to having a helicopter over a crowd of cheering people. If you're near them, you can hear them cheering, but you can't hear individual people. If you put a microphone on one or two of the people, you'll be able to hear them, but you can't hear the overall picture. But if you put electrodes all over the surface of the brain, giving microphones to groups of people cheering, you can figure out what those groups are cheering for, unquote. 3 years ago, Gerwin Schalk, a PhD associate professor of neurology at the Albany Medical College and a research scientist at the Wadsworth Center of the State Department of Health, told the Troy Record, quote, my colleagues at the Wadsworth Center are already using this technology for patients with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, to do simple communication, unquote. You're listening to This Week in Radio News. This is Matmos and Mental Radio.
This is an independent, free radio station on shortwave.
Returning to your radio sets.
Radio Latina is back.
Bigger and better than ever before. More powerful. Hot rockin' and flamethrower. It's new. It's improved. It's better than ever before. Program details will be announced soon. Go tell a friend. Stay tuned to this channel.
Radio Latina.
Luis Callaghan in Europe Newsweek reports about the state of pirate radio in Britain. He claims there are about 100 stations in the UK right now, with declining numbers across Europe, except in the eastern Netherlands. He also writes that internet radio and other digital avenues have distracted would-be pirates from the airwaves, causing decline in numbers. Now England is on the verge of abandoning the current FM frequencies in a digital transition that would likely kill off most pirate radio. Ofcom, the UK's version of the US Federal Communications Commission, reported in 2014 that 48% of radio listeners had a digital radio in their household, so that change will come soon. Ministers earlier have said the tipping point of at least 50% digital radio penetration in England was necessary before converting to all digital broadcasting. In 2014, Ofcom, quote, conducted 154 operations against 69 pirate radio stations. It also responded to 318 complaints about pirate radio, of which 100 were from licensed stakeholders such as legal stations in London. In 48 cases, they claimed the signal from pirate stations interfered with critical services such as ambulances and fire engines. The fervent illegal radio activity around the council estates of East London, Ofcom says, came close to shutting down City Airport last year, unquote, according to the story. Ah, just like with the FCC in the U.S., the hue and cry about pirate radio is that using FM frequencies, the same ones used by legal stations, would bring down airplanes. Quote, Alfie, an unemployed pirate running Rage FM, says his station does not affect emergency services. Quote, it's just not true. I can confidently say we've never interfered with anyone. Our rig has been tested by a qualified BBC engineer. Emergency services are on a digital frequency. Ofcom just say that we interfere because they don't want anyone on the airwaves unless they've approved them and can make money off them. Read the full story in Europe Newsweek. In pirate radio news in the United States, on June 23rd, FCC Commissioner Michael O'Reilly floated an idea about how federal authorities and local authorities might thwart pirate radio operators. Inside Radio reports his suggestion is to prosecute the landlords of the pirates. O'Reilly was addressing a meeting of the New York State Broadcasters Association where he suggested putting, quote, building owners on the hot seat for hosting pirate stations, unquote, adding that, quote, most building owners wouldn't allow tenants to conduct illegal gambling sites, sweatshops, or drug activities. Why should they be allowed to be so passive with regards to illegal pirate radio stations, unquote. O'Reilly has made it something of a campaign with the National Association of Broadcasters to stomp out pirate radio in New York City and the surrounding area, and this summer it seems like there will be large effort from the FCC's Enforcement Bureau. Earlier in the month, O'Reilly got 33 New York congresspeople to sign a letter to the FCC urging action on the pirate, claiming that there were 34 pirate radio stations operating in the New York City boroughs of Brooklyn and the Bronx alone. Phil Austin from the Firesign Theater, comedian and writer, passed away June 18th, 2015. Austin played the group's best-known creation, Private Investigator Nick Danger, part of a radio theater skit they performed. Here's Firesign Theater's TV or Not TV.
You've been watching Babes in Khaki on The Late Late Show for a Saturday night. Stay tuned for Early Bird Theater when George Metesky meets Danger in the form of a beautiful woman in Lucky...
Anointed with oil on troubled waters, O heavenly grid, help us bear up thy standard, our chevron flashing bright across the gulf of compromise, standing humble on the rich field of mobile American thinking. Here in this shell, we call life...
Angels three, devil...
Osiris, my friend, what has happened to your nose?
Well, you got people jumping out of them, and you got water dropping out of them. You really are, using your helicopter.
Okay, Swami, or whatever your name is, we'll be back with this Christ consciousness racket in just a minute.
No, no, Mr. Swami, Krishna consciousness, you see, to our people.
Shh, hate cops, Guido. I always hate cops.
Yeah, Nick, I hate cops, too.
Yeah, me, too.
I'll tell you guys what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to get, even with every rotten cop in this city.
Yeah, me too.
How are you going to do it, Nick?
How are you going to do
it? You know what I'm going to do?
No, no. What you going to do, Nick?
I'm going to turn in my badge.
Yeah. I'm going to burn my uniform.
Hiya, friends. Ralph's Sportsport, owner and operator of the world's biggest dealership, west of Baalbek. As you know, we're overdosed again with all dates and kilos. Let's just take a look at some of these fabulous lids. The LaGuardia report says this key should be capped for $10,500 in easy money sentences of a year to life and nobody done. Our complete price to you, including sticks and stems and seeds, wine soaked and sugar cured, completely clean for your smoking pleasure. The complete price. Only what the traffic will allow in unmarked bills delivered to me, Ralph Icebag, in a plain brown wrapper by a brown shoot square in the dead of night. Let's take a taste of this fabulous Yucatan Blue, scored to you from the sky blue waters of that beautiful Mexican Bay, and picked by naked little froggy native boys in their tight leather aprons running through the fields by the sea. Oh, and the sea. Crimson, sometimes like fire. And the glorious sunsets and the fig trees in the Alameda Gardens. Yes, yes. And all the queer little streets and pink and blue and yellow houses and the rose gardens and the jessamine and geraniums and cactuses and Gibraltar. As a boy, where I was a flower of the mountain, yes, where I put the rose in my hair like the Andalusian girls used, yes. And how she kissed me under the Moorish wall. And I thought, well, as well him as another. And she asked me, would I, yes, to say, yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes, and drew her down to me so I could feel her breasts all perfumed, yes. And his heart was going like mad. And yes, I said, yes, I will, yes, yes.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. On June 23rd, the Bloomberg Philanthropies Public Art Challenge announced $4 million grant winners for art projects across the country. One is called Breathing Lights from artist Adam Friedland and architect Barbara Nelson for the cities of Albany, Schenectady, and Troy in New York. The grant goes to put lights in windows of unused buildings there, illuminating street-facing windows of hundreds of vacant buildings in the three cities in October of 2016. Friedland spoke to This Week in Radio This Week about the project.
We wanted the idea to relate very much so to the Capital Region and what is specific about our area. And one of the things is that it happens to be the place that invented the light bulb. It's where GE is based. And at the same point in time, it's a place with a whole lot of vacancies because a lot of industry left, though GE is still there.
But not even in the same strength it was at one time, probably.
You know what? Probably not, but they do. I've been lucky enough during this project to work with them because they're one of our partners, and they do a lot of really amazing, exciting stuff, I will say that. So we had this idea that would use technology and somehow take place in vacant buildings. And the idea was to create a very sort of simple LED lighting element that would go into the windows of vacant buildings and create a breathing effect. Now, to see this in one building is one thing. The strength of the project was meant to be in its scale. So hundreds and hundreds of buildings would have this happening. So throughout the three cities, when you're driving, the idea was, is when you're driving down the streets, you would just be seeing out of the corner of your eye different buildings breathing light. And hence, that's the title of the piece, Breathing Lights. So to do this...
So you're meant to see it kind of from afar, really, right?
Well, you could stand right in front of one of the buildings, but there is no one place to be. It's meant to be dispersed throughout these three cities in such a way that, as opposed to most public art or public performance or whatever, where you go to the one venue and you know what you're in for, this is where it's sort of comes up from behind you unexpectedly. Like, it's living with you more than you're going to it. So on your commute home or while you're walking down in a certain neighborhood, you would just see one building kind of ever so slightly breathing a light out of it, and then another one on another block and another one on another block. And the pacing...
And it only starts in the evening, I guess?
Yeah. And the rate and the pacing of the breathing effect is... the idea is that we would sort of... look at a building as a volume, kind of like as a body, and say, okay, if my body takes up this much volume and the rate of breathing is this, what would it be if there were, we thought about the buildings as these enormous organisms in a way, and what would its breathing rate be at? So it's a really slow visual effect. And it's meant to be so. It's meant to be slower than anything else that's kind of happening around it in a way, in terms of a visual. Also for the fact that we're using lights that are sort of increasing and decreasing in intensity, and we didn't want it to seem like a disco or anything, or a casino or something. So it's a very subtle effect.
Wavefarm has its own radio project to announce this week. Zach Poff's Pond Station premieres July 1st, where radio listeners around the world will be able to tune into a webcast from two hydrophones inside a pond at Wavefarm. Radio station turns on every morning at dawn as solar energy is used to turn it on. Solar energy also animates most of the noises in the pond, as you'll hear respiration from plants, fishes, birds, and other noises. Sometimes you hear planes passing overhead or trucks passing on a nearby highway. Here's a little Zach Poff's Pond Station.
really greased my grill. That was SpongeBob on the High Seas doing the Krabby Patty. Wait a minute. Somebody's jamming our signal. What evil genius would do this?
Finally, on This Week in Radio News, that was Holly Herden with Interference from her new Platform album. This is Tom Rowe from Waveform Radio and WGXC. Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.